Have you seen the recent Ezra Klein article on Hassan? Actually, yes. And, you know, I think this is unironically a turning point, really, within the Democratic Party. Ezra Klein is one of the favored journalists, pundits, writers, Substack artists of the corpo Democrat consultant class. A watershed moment. If I were the kind of person to use that terminology, I might use it. Ezra Klein, this is why there's no liberal Joe Rogan. No, I'm willing to give some respect where it's due. I really do not think much of Ezra Klein, but it's possible he recognizes that even this is a touch too far. He's a columnist, not a journalist. Thank you, columnist. Yeah, Substack artist, whatever you prefer. His original title was Hassan Piker's Not the Enemy. I think both are perfectly fine titles, aren't they? I think they both work perfectly fine. The Democratic Party is in crisis right now because there's an incongruity between the positions that they internally want to reflect, and the positions they externally have to reflect, right? Internally, the Democratic and Republican Party are both varying levels of servile to capital, right? It's inevitable, right? They're both mainstream political parties in a country that is captured by overwhelming wealth. They're beholden to a whole fuck ton of special interest groups, lobbyist donors, whatever else. They have no choice but to engage in some level of deference. Neither of them have the popular support necessary to run the country without the support of donors. I don't know if any political party could, not in this country. The problem is that for Republicans, when your internal position is serving capital, it's really, really, really easy to get people on board. If your external position is culture war bullshit, you know, racism, xenophobia, sexism, transphobia, you can always, always, always justify being money being given to capital if the alternative is woke, right? Oh, you don't want corporate tax cuts? You must be some kind of transgender. You know, it's very easy for them. Well, the Democrats have an issue, which is that their internal positions are starkly contradictory to the positions they're supposed to externally represent. They're supposed to be liberal, but in practice, they're not very. You know, they're running into a bit of a kerfuffle. It's why their position on Israel, which is largely about deference to the military-industrial complex, is so fraught with inconsistencies. You can't claim to be politically liberal. You can't claim to offer your voters political liberalism and equality and democracy and so on, and then support the hyper-Hitler 2.0 state. You can't do it, you know? So they're running into a bit of an optics problem, you know? The main reasons you would support Israel are, one, total deference to the MIC, two, total deference to the Christian evangelical worldview with regard to the end of the world, or three, total deference to like liberal Jewish Zionism, contradictory as it is, as like a vehicle for opposing anti-Semitism. Democrats can't do one or two publicly, so they have to lean in on three. They're all in on three, which is why their only messaging when it comes to defending Israel is like, well, if you don't do this, you're anti-Semitic. Republicans at least can mix it up a little bit by talking about the evangelical worldview, or how based and red-pilled it is that you know, Lockheed missiles get to kill Arabs. But the Democrats, they're really limited. After the 2024 elections, there was a panic among Democrats about the absence of a liberal Joe Rogan. Could one be found? Could one be created? It was an epic exercise in missing the point. You cannot have a liberal Joe Rogan because Rogan is not particularly political. His audience cohered around conversations with comedians, MMA fighters, bodybuilders, and psychonauts. That's what made him politically influential. He could reach millions of people who were not otherwise interested in politics. The problem Democrats actually had, one of them anyway, was that they didn't like Rogan and criticized others for going on a show. They tried repeatedly to cancel him for his comments about trans people and his skepticism of COVID vaccines. To the extent that he's now a right-coded figure, it's not because he started that way. This is wrong, by the way. Joe Rogan took right-wing money and deliberately kowtowed to the right in a cynical effort to build up on a faux populist platform. He sold out completely, totally different. Remember him salivating out over how epic and based Elon Musk, the most uncharismatic person in the world, is? I remember. The only reason he's upset with Trump now is because Trump failed to fulfill in his promise of maintaining cultural capital after getting into office. Rogan's political views are mixed. He backed Bernie Sanders in 2020. He supported universal health care and abortion rights. He dislikes vaccine mandates and lacks border control. But it shouldn't have been a surprise when, after years of being attacked by the left, he endorsed Donald Trump in 2024. This is horseshit. The simplest way to tell people which side they're on is to tell them how much your side hates them. That brings me to a more important than it might look controversy that has burst out over the leftist streamer Hassan Piker. He had a breakout moment over the past year as Democrats began obsessing over the absence of a liberal Joe Rogan, and Piker, who mixes leftist politics with a bro-ish aesthetic, was proffered as a possible answer. A category error because, again, the whole point of Rogan's political power is that a show mostly avoid politics. This is half true. You can't make a Joe Rogan by trying to make a Joe Rogan. It's like trying to find love. You can't do it. The thing that makes Joe Rogan powerful is that he's popular with very stupid and politically disaffected people. And you could never get a person like that by starting out trying to build a political project. Another way of putting it is that if Joe Rogan today had to start from nothing and acted the way that he does today, rather than the way that he acted back 10, 15 years ago, he would not have a big audience. Because Joe Rogan is now openly politically partisan, and as a consequence, he's basically just like coasting off inertia. His existing fan base and the fact that he's already so popular, he has inroads with like the president, you know? If he had to build it up from scratch today, I really don't think he'd be that different from any other meathead right-wing demagogue like Jocko Willink, you know? But pick over Piker's years of streaming and you find offensive things he's said, among them that America deserved 9/11, his favorite flag is Hezbollah's, and that a liberal Zionist is akin to a liberal Nazi. Streamer has said offensive things isn't really a news story. But then Abdul al-Sayed, the more DSA-ish candidate in the Democratic Senate primary in Michigan, began rallying with Piker. That led Third Way, a centrist group that previously demanded that Democrats draw a line in the sand and shun Hassan Piker and his fellow Jew haters, to send a letter to al-Sayed demanding details about, quote, how closely you align with his most abhorrent views. Jonathan Greenblatt, the head of the ADL, said Piker reflects, quote, the dangerous normalization of anti-Semitism in our politics. Politico then asked a number of possible 2028 Democratic hopefuls whether they would appear in Piker's show. Politico, notably, also an extremely Zionist rag. Governor Gavin Newsom and Rahm Emanuel said they would. Ro Khanna and AOC already had. Cory Booker, Ruben Gallego, and Alyssa Slotkin said they wouldn't. I think there's a lot wrapped up in this controversy, so let's take it piece by piece. The reason I think this is very noteworthy, I guess aside from the fact I generally very much dislike Ezra Klein, is the fact that he is the exact kind of person who needs to weigh in on this. He's supposed to be the centrist, pragmatic voice within the Democratic Party, the columnist who reflects the intent and interests, biases, and drive of the consultancy class, the smarmy DC, you know, socialites who manage the Democratic Party internally, the people from whom candidates pull their support from, the people who advise Democratic senators and representatives, the people with the real power in the party. Is Piker a Jew hater, as Third Way alleges? In an interview with the writer Aaron Regenberg, Piker addressed some of his worst comments. I find some of his answers compelling and others less so. The comparison of liberal Zionists to Nazis, for instance, is repugnant. Ha, I bet you'd think that. And not much improved by Piker clarifying he opposes ethnostates. What made the Nazis notable wasn't their support for an ethnostate. Really high bar we're drawing here. Ethnostates are common. What made the Nazis... Well, not really. No, not in the Western world. Ethnostates that militarily... Dude, Israel just implemented a fucking race-based death sentence law. Israel is very unique. There are plenty of countries that are incidental ethnostates, like they just happen to contain almost entirely one ethnic group, or countries that passively reaffirm the dominant power of that ethnic group, you know? But what Israel is doing, which is like constant warfare and displacement and genocide, like that is very much not common, especially not in the West. What made the Nazis notable was their effort to exterminate the Jewish people, which the Israel Jews are doing. And Piker's assertion is that his opposition is to all reactionary ideology is hard to square with his admiration for Hezbollah. I mean, Hezbollah is not really motivated by reactionary ideology. You know, they're motivated by defense of their nation against Israel because they were created after Israel invaded Lebanon. Whatever. But to focus on only these comments is to miss something else that Piker has said and believes. He's also said, quote, from pogroms to the Holocaust, Jews have always been singled out by those in power as a scapegoat for the instability and economic volatility that people in power caused. A resilient nascent anti-Semitism is a constant threat. That is true. He's called anti-Semitism gross, immoral, and a hate crime. He's promoted John Ossoff, a Democratic senator from Georgia who is Jewish, as a 2028 presidential possibility. In previous presidential primaries, Piker supported Bernie Sanders, who's also Jewish. It is an unusual form of Jew hatred that calls out anti-Semitism and promotes Jewish Americans for the presidency. All of this is true. However, I do resent the fact that Piker's correct statements on Israel have to be conditioned and opposed by his incidental support for Jewish political candidates. What if John Ossoff never ran? What if Bernie Sanders never ran? What if all of the progressive political candidates that, you know, Hassan Piker supported were not Jewish, not because he was avoiding Jewish candidates, but because Jews represent a tiny, tiny percentage of the American population, about 2% of it? Like, what if it had turned out that the progressive candidates of his, you know, of his time happened to be predominantly WASPs? I mean, I don't think that's necessarily how you determine whether or not a person is anti-Semitic. Yeah, it's kind of weak, but compared to the rest of the consultancy class, this article's cutting edge. That is true, yeah. We're kind of grading on a curve here. I have deep disagreements with Piker, but he isn't a Jew hater. He's an anti-Zionist. And here, I think, the real stakes in this fight come into view. We are living through a rapture in both the meaning and reality of Israel. A Gallup poll from February found, for the first time, more Americans sympathize with Palestinians than Israelis. Among Democrats, the gap was overwhelming, with 65% who sympathized more with the Palestinians and 17% with the Israelis. The difference, as I have argued, is largely generational. Older Americans still view the Israelis more sympathetically. Yeah, but when they die out, it's going to be like a 95-5 issue. That's not even a joke. Oh, rupture, not rapture. I'm sorry. Yes, you're correct. Who wrote this? Ezra Klein. Among Americans 18 to 34, 53% sided with the Palestinians, 23% with the Israelis. This is new. Before 2023, young people and Democrats were more likely to side with the Israelis. More likely than they were the Palestinians, not more likely than Republicans or old people. This is not the result of an international psyop or a profusion of memes. The Israel that young people know is not the Israel that older people remember. The older Israel is also barbaric, but okay. It responded to the savagery of October 7th by flattening Gaza in a brutal campaign that killed at least 70,000 Gazans, taking control of more than half the territory, and herding Gazans, more than 2 million people, into the remainder. Life there remains hellish. Israel has made hopes for a two-state solution fanciful by slicing the West Bank up into Israeli settlements and abetting constant settler violence and keeping a boot in the throat of the Palestinian Authority. It has used the Iran war as an opportunity to launch the invasion of Lebanon, displacing more than 1 million people, and announcing that as many as 600,000 won't be able to return to their homes until Israel decides otherwise. The Knesset just voted to legalize hanging as a punishment for Palestinians who are convicted of killing Israelis in terrorist attacks. Quote-unquote terrorist attacks. Third Way suggests you can identify Jew haters by the use of their loaded words taught in social justice seminars: apartheid, genocide, settler colonialism. If that is the test, then a large number of American Jews now fail it. Israel, as it is behaving today, and as it is constructing itself for tomorrow, is incompatible with any normal understanding of liberal values. Ezra Klein, Mr. Klein, this is what Hassan Piker was saying, that liberal Zionist is like saying liberal Nazi. Because Israel as it exists today is anathema to liberal values. That's what he was saying. There will be no Palestinian state to the west of the Jordan River, Netanyahu has said. For years I have prevented the creation of that terror state against tremendous pressure, both domestic and from abroad. We have done this with determination and with astute statesmanship. Moreover, we have doubled the Jewish settlement in Judea and Samaria, and we will continue on this path. And then here's the proper quote. Anti-Zionism is rising as a response to what Israel is doing. It will simply not be possible to treat it as a marginal viewpoint that can be shamed or shunned into invisibility. Yes, anti-Semitism often cloaks itself in anti-Zionism, so don't do the anti-Semites' work for them. If you keep telling people if they oppose the Jewish state, then they must hate the Jewish people, eventually, they will believe you. I've said this. It's 100% a truth nuke. Stop clocks and all. It's an important stopped clock, okay? It's a clock that is stopped on an important time. The impulse to cut off those with whom we disagree reaches far beyond Piker or the Israel-Palestinian debate. It sits at the heart of cancellation as a political tactic. It relies on a belief that in the power of gatekeepers that may have been true in an earlier age, but no longer reflects the way attention is earned and held. By the way, I'm totally fine with canceling fascist pieces of shit like Joe Rogan, but canceling the way the Democrats understand it is just obnoxious henpecking. They've tried to cancel Hassan Piker by whinily insisting that he's an anti-Semite for being correct about Israel. I dislike Joe Rogan for good reasons. They dislike Hassan Piker for bad reasons. There is a difference. Tucker Carlson was ejected from Fox News and grew stronger on X and YouTube. Nick Fuentes was banned from major social media platforms and gathered strength in the shadows. Trump went from being banned by... This is a little bit like enlightened centrist, free marketplace of ideas bullshit. Trump went from being banned by every major social media platform to retaking the presidency. Trump did not retake the presidency because he was canceled after Jan 6. He retook the presidency because Biden did nothing with his presidency, Merrick Garland refused to go after him for anything, and he was allowed to completely retake momentum in a dwindling presidency, you know? It is revisionism, it is. It's stupid. But the underlying point here is important. Beneath this is an important principle. Conversation is not a reward to be bestowed on those with whom we agree. It's a necessary habit in a democracy. The point is not to find agreement so much as to deepen understanding. I disagree with this, of course. I don't think that conservatives should be enfranchised. I think that the Republican Party is a treasonous terror group and the greatest threat to world peace that has ever existed. And I think that their advocates, sycophants, and soldiers need to be systematically disenfranchised. And I think that if you disagree, you're illiberal. But if Ezra Klein wants to cloak his dickless concession to Hassan Piker and everything that he represents in a broader sentiment of, enlightened free speech dogma, then you know what, go for it. Whatever. Whatever gets you there. God bless. I really want to know what he meant by ethnostates are common, though. Well, he truncated his thoughts a lot here because he is lazy and boring and uninteresting and stupider than me. The underlying sentiment, there is an element of truth, but the way in which he was using it was not truthful. Because Israel is not unique in the sense that it is an incidental ethnostate. It is a monstrous death state that worships the mass murder of other groups. It is not in any way common. It is especially uncommon as a Western ally, but it is uncommon in any context. Even countries like North Korea and Saudi Arabia don't engage in the kind of open barbarism that Israel does. But again, that's not what matters most. Does this not feel like the largest sign of, I guess, our inevitable victory? On Democrats moving backwards away from Israel, I think that it is inevitable. The push here is so strong, and Israel is so evil that it feels like it's kind of unavoidable. Now, they might campaign on opposing Israel, but lie and still get in office and do much the same, but it is still a step. If I'm remembering correctly, I believe J Street recently changed their policy position. Yeah, they are now pushing for an end even to Iron Dome funding, which means that J Street may actually graduate from their initial position in my head as Diet AIPAC to something a little bit more substantially different. Who's J Street? Diet AIPAC. What do you think Israel hopes to gain by creating a trillion anti-Semites globally? What do you think Nazi Germany had to gain by creating several billion anti-Aryans globally? In the article, they said Israel will still buy the weapons on their own. Sure, they can still buy our weapons, which is still illegal, by the way. The Leahy Act prevents us from selling weapons to countries that we have accused of committing war crimes. But at least J Street is not advocating for giving them for free. I don't think democracy would exist if you think anyone who disagrees with you needs to be gone. No, but I think democracy requires the pruning of terrorist groups, seditionists, traitors, and other people who would destroy the democracy, It's kind of like, I don't really think that you should fight a person because they disagree with you on the street, but if they try to murder you, they should probably be arrested a little bit. Tolerance paradox, as it always was. Who gets to define that, you and I? This is a trite conversation. It's 101. Go back and count your fingers and toes. When you're done, you'll have gained the knowledge to surpass this point. Who gets to define what murder is? The law? What if they defined murder as being black? Well, I guess they kind of, to an extent they did that, but that's not an excuse for getting rid of laws against murder. J Street stated the U.S.-Israeli security relationship, what relationship? This requires a fundamental reassessment, citing the war in Gaza, violence in Judea and Samaria. Oh, right, we're on JNS, sorry. Judea and Samaria. And regional tensions involving Iran. J Street supports withholding all arms if laws are violated. Yeah, but the Zionist press and government will not, acknowledge that laws are being violated. Like, it's all well and good to say you'll uphold the Leahy Act. If I recall correctly, Israel having to buy stuff rather than just giving them weapons and money would require a lot more legal scrutiny. That does make sense, yeah. J Street supports phasing out taxpayer-funded military aid when the current agreement ends in 2028. Not fast enough. Ensuring Israel can defend itself by selling the weapons it needs, including Iron Dome. Not nearly enough. Enforcing U.S. law on how American arms are used, including withholding certain weapons when these laws are violated. Da 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 da. Yeah, I'm still going to say nasty, nasty stuff about anyone who gets J Street money. However, the fact that they have to walk back on this is a sign of power. It's not a coincidence this happened just about at the same time as Ezra Klein's article, We're seeing a walk back. The consultants in the DNC are no longer singly controlling discourse. They do know where the winds are blowing. They know where the tide is leading. It is very hopeful. It is very hopeful. I don't know how much money Israel has on hand to buy weapons, to be honest, Kizawadi. Their economy is pretty robust for the size of the country. I don't really know where they would pull it from. I don't know enough about their weapons, defense spending appropriations bills or whatever, to what extent they can direct funds towards that project. Unironically, Israel would probably call it anti-Semitic to have to buy their Iron Dome interceptor missiles or interceptor rockets. If they don't walk it back, every leftist is going to write in Tucker Carlson for 2028. Yes, sir. Won't coming shortages push people into supporting authoritarianism? In Israel? They're already authoritarian. In general? Yes. If you want to thank Kizawadi for stutter fix, you can unmute them. Spec Atlas, I respect your loyalty. Kizawadi, you've got shooters. What can even be done when a majority of the Jewish population has been propagandized to be some level of Zionist? Well, for one, every Christian evangelical is a Zionist, and there are far more of them than there are Jews in America. For two, young Jews are anti-Zionist, by and large, in America. For three, I don't really care what the religion or ethnicity is. If you're a traitor to the United States, you're a traitor to the United States. I don't know. Like, well, I don't know. I don't understand what you're asking. You're like, well, how do we fight Zionists if a lot of Jews are Zionists? The same? Doesn't make a difference to me. I don't really consider the broader religious or ethnic implications of the fact that the majority of evangelicals are white. I mean, they are. I don't really think of opposing their political aims as opposing white people. I'm white. Don't really think it makes a difference. I think they mean in Israel. They're just people, man. It's good news. We should be happy.